You are listening to the Scottish Football Marketing Podcast from the Scottish FA. Esports, without a doubt, is one of the main buzzwords within sports marketing at the moment. So what exactly is it? And more importantly, should Scottish clubs be getting involved? We try to give a bit of insight into what esports actually means. We also look at whether clubs want to get involved or should get involved. And to be honest, we probably can't give that answer. It will vary from club to club. However, hopefully, by the end of this podcast, you'll be better placed to help make any decisions going forward. This week's podcast is in a slightly different format to usual as well. We hear separately from three people within the industry. As always, if you have any questions, drop us a message on Twitter, at sportsmarketingsco, or at Michael Bockel. Show notes and links are also available on the Scottish FA website. You can find these under the Developing My Club section. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Scottish Football Marketing Podcast. My name is Chris Sampson from Sports Marketing Scotland, and as ever, Michael Bockel's here from the Scottish FA.
Hello.
This is show 18, and we're talking about esports on this episode. It's not really just Michael and I, but we will be kind of giving you the main crux of the chat tonight. We're going to have some clips kind of throughout the episodes from Michael being a roving reporter at the latest. Well, I'll let you introduce it.
Yeah, so there was an esports sort of workshop forum that was hosted for a number of SPFL clubs, and we had some good speakers there, and thought take the opportunity to just grab 10 minutes of their time and interview them. So we'll have interviews with Trevor Keane, who's from Sport Eagle, who are a sort of fan engagement and have moved into esports, and he's been doing a lot of work around with teams and leagues. I also spoke to a gentleman called James Hood, who runs a company in Scotland called Esports Scotland and organises a lot of sort of esports competitions within various games across Scotland. And then we had along two of Scotland's best FIFA players, and I interviewed Adam Ryan, who's Scotland's best FIFA player on the PlayStation, and got a player's perspective as well. So yeah, look, three different sort of angles to it, sort of more what's happening globally and what's happening from a top level, what's happening in Scotland, and taking that player's perspective. So hopefully by the end of this podcast, I mean, we're not going to pretend that we are full-on experts in esports. I was recently fortunate to go down to London to attend Sports Pro Live, and esports was the buzz word, if you like. No matter what the session was, it seemed to be at some form of mention of esports, and I think it's very much an area where people feel that they need to be getting into, want to be getting into, but maybe don't actually know where to begin. And I've got to admit, we, from a Scottish FA perspective, are very much at the start of our journey on where we want to be going with esports. And when we talk about esports, it's not just gaming and playing games on your handheld or on a PlayStation, Xbox. It's actually competitive professional gaming. Yeah. And from a Scottish FA perspective, I think our priority at the moment in time, we're watching things like the E-Nations Cup and seeing a lot of what's happening in Scandinavia, and I'll touch on that a little bit later on, but we need a national team. We want to be competing at a national level. It does, with moving into this area, and again we'll touch on and what some clubs are doing and some various others, but we'll be... We need to look at how do you engage a younger audience that's wanting to, hopefully with your brand. One of the things I think would be naive of us is to think that we'll convert gamers into football fans. That's not where we are, what our objectives would be. Our objectives would really be looking at how do we take young 16-year-olds to 24-year-olds who have an interest in football but are probably more engrossed in the FIFA scene or to an extent Pro Evolution Soccer. Yeah. And how do we get them more engaged with Scotland, which, and especially in a time when there's a lot of sort of apathy perhaps towards the national team, So we've got to look at different angles. So yeah, look, there's a lot of different areas, and hopefully as we go through this podcast, we'll try and break it down a little bit to give a better understanding of that landscape and hear from people that are actually in the know and heavily involved.
Definitely. I think where do we want to start then? What do you think?
I think just giving a bit of background to what actually happens, what the current esports climate is. I mean, we know that for football clubs, as FIFA is, you go, yep, definitely. And there were some stats that FIFA, look, is probably in terms of played globally, is not in the top 10. In Europe and UK, it's slightly different. And in Europe and UK, for most watched, it's up there. But when you look at some of the biggest esports competitions in the world, it's League of Legends, it's Overwatch.
CSGO as well.
There's a million different ones. Well, not a million, but you know what? There's a lot of different ones out there that are PC gaming. So it's your proper hardcore. And when at Sports Pro Live, one of the teams I presented was a team called Fnatic's, and watching some of the stuff, League of Legends has been going on since the World Series or World Championship that they've got on since like 2010, 2011, if not earlier. So it's been going on for a while, but all signs show that the growth across different games are taking place. And I think you're looking at where does FIFA fit in, and we've got, I think 16 or 17 leagues it is now across the world have their own league. So I think Poland are the most recent one to move into it. But obviously the E-Premier League was the first time around this year. Yeah. MLS, A-League in Australia, just to name a few. The Eredivisie, Bundesliga. So everybody's realising the leagues, and I know in Scotland's no different, and looking at that and whether it is, but it's esports, there's a lot of investment going into it just now. There's a lot of big brands that are looking at it, and when you actually get a breakdown of where the money in esports is coming from, it's from predominantly partners.
Yeah.
And there's some big money that can exchange hands. I know likes of Mercedes, Shell, Nike have all invested in esports recently, and for some to a significant level, and believe it or not, around things like League of Legends. FIFA, obviously, there's a whole big drive there and the commercial partnerships there. So I think there's a big shift there. It's becoming more mainstream. There is broadcast deals actually happening as well that are coming off the back of it. So as an industry, it's in a market growing, but for a lot of people it's still a bit unknown.
Yeah, I think for me, like I've written about it a couple of times now over the last few years. I think first time was maybe back in 2016, and it was still so new at that point too, but even then you could see it was growing massively. And I think the last time I wrote about it was for, I think, issue 10 of Nutmeg. And at that point, when I was doing a bit of research, it was apparently due to be £1 billion industry by 2020, or even this year actually. So you can see why some of these companies, and you can see why sports teams are looking to get involved in it as well.
The money in it is already big. It's getting bigger. You look at what I think Trevor Keane explained this. I thought it was a great analogy. Is you don't say you play Olympics. So you don't say you play esports, you play FIFA, you play League of Legends, you play Overwatch. So it is sports within the general bracket of esports, or gaming, or professional gaming within the bracket esports. But brands, as we know, are desperate to market to younger audiences, much like clubs and getting younger fans. And we've talked about this before on podcasts, where I think the average age of a season ticket holder is 42, 44 or something like that. So if you can target a younger audience, brands want to be part of that, hence why they're looking for that platform to do that. So I think you look at it as well, I think I touched on this before, is some people look at it and hear about esports and go and just write it off. It's a load of nonsense. To be honest, it sounds a bit funny, but it's similar to comments I've heard about Game of Thrones recently, obviously, as we're recording this while the final season's going on. And you get those that are firmly in the camp that watch it, that go, yeah, this is great. But then the ones that don't watch it go, and this is absolute nonsense. Why would anybody watch this? And I think there's a feeling of a little bit of it's the unknown. It's why kids just, they need to be out in the streets. They need to be playing. But actually, when you look at games like Fortnite, where groups of friends are actually forming online and they're building their own communities there. It's no longer doing it in the park, it's doing it online. So look, there's a lot of different ways to communicate, and we'd be foolish to say, yeah, every club needs to be looking in this space, because it's not for everybody. And even if you look at the Premier League, a lot of clubs got on board with it fully, but hearing stories from behind the scenes and that, not all clubs were bought into it or are wanting to go. And you're looking at players as well, they're starting their own teams. Christian Fuchs is one from Leicester City, and Trevor Keane touches on it in his interview that he's just about to launch with two England internationals with their own teams, looking at FIFA originally, predominantly, but that can change. So maybe a good sort of juncture to introduce Trevor and let's hear what he's got to say. Joined by Trevor Keane from Sport Eagle. Trevor, how are you getting on?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. Interesting day, obviously, at the club forum. What is your background and what does Sport Eagle do?
Yeah, so we're a fan engagement company focusing on data analytics, social analytics, and esports. We have a full dedicated division that works with football clubs, with football players, to help them kind of navigate the murky waters of understanding the esports industry.
And I suppose it's a basic question, but what exactly is esports?
Esports is competitive gaming. That's at its very simplest. There's a whole host of different publishers, ecosystem around it, but it's just teams, players playing competitively against each other to be the best.
And from an esports perspective, what are you involved in and what do you do?
Yeah, so we work with Christian Fuchs, Premier League player, and we've helped him become the first Premier League player to launch an esports team. We focus on his recruitment and his commercialization of his FIFA team. We've also worked with the likes of Watford, helping them with their e-Premier League activation and beyond. We're working with a couple of more players, which will, hopefully come live post this podcast. And again, it's about helping them, I suppose, commercialize their esports activations, understand, the esports space, and look beyond, the likes of FIFA as opportunities.
And where does FIFA sit within the ecosystem? It's not the most popular game by any stretch of the imagination, but where does it sit on the wider scope?
So in terms of community, you would probably put FIFA at the very top. I mean, there's 20 million copies, sold in a year. When you get through to the competitive esports space, the foot tournaments, you get about 2 million players competing. So it's a massive part of the ecosystem, but it's very different from what you would look at as being the biggest esports tournaments at the moment, the likes of your Overwatch, League of Legends, Fortnite, which are more strategy, battle arena, and battle royale games. So it's probably in a space where it's a consumer product trying to find its way in the esports world versus a dedicated esports title.
And from a football club perspective, you mentioned you've done some work with Watford. What is happening in the space for football clubs?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a very exciting time, because what we're seeing at the moment is domestic e-leagues emerging. We just saw the e-Premier League earlier on this year. We're going to see a couple more. The Polish have just launched their own e-league. So I think that's going to be an opportunity for clubs one way or another, to kind of, whether that's, led by the FA or the Premier League, to get involved in it. And I think then at a secondary level, clubs are kind of exploring how they can work, with these gamers, whether that's FIFA, whether that's Fortnite, these content creators, to see how they can actually, enhance their brand offering. This is I suppose it's a key thing to think for a football club, that just because you get involved in esports, this is not about, you know, getting somebody to walk through the turnstile and buy a ticket, you know, to your football club. It's about extending your brand and your reach to new audiences.
Predominantly, people say it's a younger audience. And what sort of ages are we talking about?
So in a competitive space, you're looking at your 16 plus up to about 24. You know, gaming wise, anything from 8, 9, 10 in terms of viewing content and digesting content. So very, very young audience, and, you know, a very engaged audience. And we're actually seeing a kind of a re-emergence now, where it is, you know, the 35 to 44 market are, you know, returning to kind of esports titles rather than competitive kind of esports, but, you know, engaging with those.
You presented this morning on what is happening in this space. You talked about a little bit about sponsors, and a question was put to you: what do sponsors look for to get out of their investment into the esports sort of area?
Really, this is about, you know, it's about reaching, leveraging off the power of esports to reach a younger audience. But what sponsors are looking for is, you know, better opportunities to activate, you know, better content opportunities, and, you know, marrying of traditional, you know, sporting assets with modern, you know, gaming esports titles, and kind of that mismatch working together to you know, to entertain, educate, and activate.
If you were to, a Scottish club was to ask you for, right, I'm just starting out in this space, what would be your advice for them in terms of the direction or their options available to them?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest challenge, I think, for any clubs, is kind of to understand, you know, the opportunities that they have. I suppose there's two aspects. One is to do a holistic strategy all around the esports space to understand, you know, what opportunities are available, you know, at a domestic and an international level. And I think the key thing is to make sure that they have buy-in, you know, from all the stakeholders involved in the business. I mean, it is, you know, a massive opportunity, you know, but, you know, there just needs to be an awareness of that opportunity internally.
There's options, obviously, in terms of having players represent the club, but you mentioned in presentation as well about the actual venue and the stadium and the opportunities of turning them into gaming zones.
Yeah, I mean, I think the when you look at the commercialization, you know, of esports, you know, a lot of it comes down to sponsorship and prize pools for, you know, players, which vary across tournaments. But I think at the end of the day, you have stadiums. Some of them are very central, you know, and accessible. And these stadiums are not used outside of match days. And a lot of these stadiums have spaces that can be converted into gaming zones, you know, that can be used for high-level professional teams as training camps, but it can also be used for your everyday local fan to come in and play his favorite game with his friends in a gaming cafe type environment. And I think that's what we're going to see a bit more of in terms of partnerships with clubs. We've already seen it with Excel, which are a large esports organization, partnering with Twickenham to build, you know, a multi-purpose performance center for esports. And then kind of at a lower level, we've seen in Northern Ireland, maybe, where Crusaders have worked with Game and Belong to create a zone for fans. And I think that's, you know, one is a kind of a top tier opportunity. The other one is an activation, you know, on a match day. The happy sweet spot is in the middle of that, where you've got something that, you know, on a Monday, you know, you've got traffic coming into your stadium, you know, and they're both spending money and they're spending time there.
And you mentioned in your presentation that one of the tips was maybe think beyond just FIFA. What are the other options you would sort of recommend clubs maybe even just look at, if not start participating?
Yeah, I think there's FIFA is part of the football world, you know, and it's definitely something that clubs should look at. But I think in a wider space, you know, within their squad, whether it's youth or senior, you've got gamers. I think it's worth for a club to explore and ask questions of those gamers of what games they play. I think it's good to engage with their fans and understand what they watch and what they learn, and it's very easy to capture that information, you know, and see, is there opportunities outside of that? So, you know, we all know, everybody knows about the success of Fortnite, you know, and Fortnite is a fantastic game, But the UK, you've got the likes of Rocket League, you know, you've got the likes of, you know, Street Fighter, you've got the likes of Super Smash Brothers. And these are games that the content is fantastic. And it creates an almost an inclusive environment, you know, for the club, because, you know, I might be a gamer and I might play Fortnite and all my mates are football fans, and, you know, I don't want to go to the club on a Saturday because I'm not a football fan, you know, whereas by extending that brand, you know, you're including me in that activity, you know. And so it's about creating an all-inclusive environment that goes beyond football, but is an extension of the brand of the club.
Nice one. And Trevor, how can they find more about yourself and your company?
Sportigo is the company. We're online. It's sportigo.ie. I'm at Trev Keane on Twitter. I'm quite active there. You know, always musing about the world of esports and what's coming and what's going on there. So yeah, online and ready and to chat.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah. Cheers.
Probably a good place to move on from that is talking about a few examples of what we've seen so far from, I mean, potentially not just clubs in Scotland, but some clubs in Scotland have been getting involved in this space already. Latest highest profile case is probably Celtic with, was it two esports players they signed up?
Yeah, they're in the Football Pro League, which is basically professional pro evolution soccer.
Yeah.
And they've went out and got two of the best. So they're competing in a league with the likes of Monaco, and it's 2-on-2, so there's a different dynamic to it. It's pro evolution soccer as well, so, which is an interesting route, because FIFA by far is the biggest football game when it comes to this, but then pro evolution soccer, there is a competitive pro gaming element there, obviously, as we evident with the eFootball League, so, or eFootball Pro League. And Celtic are doing well now, and they've went out and they've scouted Europe and the world for the best talent to actually play for the club, and they're doing well there. It was funny speaking to Celtic and hearing how they got into esports. I mean, I think they said they could have easily diversified into doing something else. They could have started a basketball team, for example, but esports, seen the opportunity in the market, and it's still, I think they be the first time, it's still relatively early days for them, but they have actually just gone and went, right, let's go and do something here, and the two guys that are playing for them are doing well.
I think for me as well, one of the things that I spotted about this was the eFootball Pro League was created by Gerard Piqué, which I think is quite interesting, because again, that's another player getting involved in esports, as you mentioned Christian Fuchs already, but it's a very high profile player as well, probably going to be able to attract more sponsors, and then Celtic are kind of picking up on that, kind of jumping on the bandwagon, if you like, and it's only going to be a positive, I think, and it'll probably grow and grow.
Yeah, I can't imagine Celtic have gone into something that they didn't see the potential revenue. So yeah, look, I think they've been smart about the business and definitely out there testing. I mean, speaking to or hearing from Christian Fuchs, when he's been talking about his esports team, he goes, if you're an esports team, don't expect to be making money in the first year. If you can break even, great. Yes, there's money from partners, etc., to be had, but it's not that simple. And I think we'll hear from Adam Ryan as well. To be a top esports player or a FIFA player, you're going to be, it's not all riches, especially at the start. So it's, in a growing industry, there's still a lot of sort of an element of risk that comes with it.
I'd spotted another example again when I wrote about it previously a few years back now. It was Hibs and Hamilton, I think, had got involved in the Celtic Esports League, which was Trevor was involved in at the time, wasn't he?
Yeah, so again, Hibs, Hamilton, I think there was Wolves, was another one that comes to mind. I think there was an Irish
Shamrock
team
Rovers, I think.
Potentially, yeah. And I think everybody, knowing, speaking to some of the Hibs guys that were involved at the time, and Trevor himself, I think it was a first sort of test in the market. And like anything, you do have to test the waters, and just to see what the appetite for it was, what was potentially going to be required from clubs. And yeah, it takes a little bit of resource, and it's not just something that you can run itself, sort of thing. So, but I think it was a good thing, and now we see where it's kicked on, and for the likes of Wolves competing in the Premier League, etc. Yeah. I'm sure it was a good experience.
Definitely. I think I've just got another couple of examples, but it's probably not down the competitive route, but probably something that other clubs can look at and for a bit of inspiration as well. So just using games or esports, if you like, to create some content, like yeah. around just a normal strategy across the season. Previously we had Michael Park on, obviously, and yeah. BSC Glasgow got involved with, I think it's Moza Plays, just playing Football Manager for them as a kind of regular piece on the website for them as content. And then I think Motherwell last season had Stephen Robinson with his son playing against a couple of the players on FIFA. So again, using games, and those are just football examples, but there are probably other examples too. I think previously New Zealand rugby team had put something out about like playing Fortnite. You mentioned that as an example on one of the pods. So yeah. Like there's obviously so many avenues kind of open for clubs to go down in this space.
Yeah, and I think if you take the competitive gaming part or the esports part of it, yeah, like looking at gaming and how you, one, as you said, generate content. We do our FIFA challenge every year with our players, and it's some of our most popular content by far. We put out pictures with James Forrest holding a player of the week team of the week card, and for when he got his hat trick against Albania, and Israel. It's like the numbers we get on that and engagement with younger audiences is massive. Yeah. So, yeah, I think if you can do content or grassroots gaming is big in Scotland, and grassroots esport, and then James Hood, we'll introduce in a little bit, he talks about that, and there's a lot of sort of opportunity there and content, and we heard Trevor mention it in the interview a little bit about what clubs can use with their venues, and James Hood will tell us a little bit more as well. Joined by James Hood from Esports Scotland.
Hello.
James, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
I'm good, good. Do you want to just give us a quick overview of your background and what Esports Scotland actually is?
Yeah, I think we had a look at the esports scene in Scotland about 2.5 years ago. I initially started running a Facebook group just out of passion called Xbox One Scotland. That grew to about 600 members, and it was just lots of people having fun and, you know, chatting about games, you know, something you would do. My partner fell pregnant, running another business at the time, kind of took my eye off it a little bit, you know. A couple of years went past, and then before I knew it, I was like, esports is really taking off. You know, I think I'd seen it happen a little bit over in the East, but then I didn't realise how close it started to come and it was taking off. So I thought to myself, I want to create Esports Scotland. So I went around the country, met lots of different organisations, found that there's lots of grassroots orgs, people just doing it with passion, friends together, but there was not really any clear direction for people to try and organise tournaments together. Not in every scene. The fighting game scene was really established, certainly. That's one of the big scenes in Scotland. But other ones are maybe here or there, so I thought, let's create a place for people to, you know, we've got an event coming up, put on here, and we can share it all and try and bring people together. And off the back of that, the Scottish Esports League was born. Then now we're on season two now.
And you presented at the Club Forum today and talked a little bit about what that landscape is in Scotland. What it's very much, as you said in the presentation, it's grassroots at the moment in time, isn't it? There's not really a professional element per se. But what, for example, what is the Esports League, Scotland League, and what happens across Scotland?
Well, at the moment, certainly, it's all about prize pool and it's all about eyes. And then the more we're starting to see a lot more brands coming into Scotland now, and that just raises the profile. And what we're trying to do, certainly, is grow a structure, a grassroots league initially, with the aim to have a professional league. And then with the aim that the money comes in from the professional league, that can filter down to the grassroots level and help support these guys that are forking out their own money for tournaments.
And you mentioned the sort of fighting genre. What are the other sort of games, or what are the games within that genre, but in the other genres as well, that are the most popular you participate?
Yeah, first person shooting, fighting games, obviously your football, your sports simulating games, the racing scene. Like I touched on a little bit, but there's been a lot of success through Scottish esports players doing the racing scene as well. Like I said, Graham Carroll races for Red Bull now. He's doing really well. A guy, Gordy Much as well, he's doing really well. Nigel Sim racing. So yeah, there's lots of good spaces in Scotland. Once again, it's almost like saying, what's the best sport in Scotland then? Well, we've got rugby and football's doing, so esports is the same. You've got lots of different games underneath it.
What's your typical audience? Are you the gamers that you're dealing with?
The age-wise, probably about, I'm 38, I'm still jumping in, but I think you're talking, you look at kids nowadays, it must be from even 8 upwards. As soon as they start consuming YouTube and watching Fortnite, and they're getting engaged even then, so from 8 to, 28? But mostly I would say we're talking uni students, in a sense, that kind of 18 to 24 kind of bracket. We're going to get people that don't have kids and partners yet and can still do their time on their games.
There's quite a lot of opportunities for clubs in Scotland, isn't there?
Massive. I think being a fan of one of the old firm as like growing up, you kind of didn't see how much the bigger clubs, in a sense, took control of Scotland. But I think with esports, it's almost like it could make an even playing field again, and you could have the likes of, say, Partick Thistle coming up against Celtic and then their player beating them, and I would do wonders for the Partick Thistle could start to do their marketing with it and really push it, and it becomes a lot more even. So I think it's a great opportunity, especially to engage with the fans and start bringing fans back to the stadium, because I know that there's probably going to be some empty bums in the seats in the future unless we start engaging with this current,
You ran a number of tournaments,
yep,
online, but also
offline,
yep, in person. What is the setup for those sort of events? I know it depends on the game and whether it's one on one and two and two, but what is the general sort of key elements that you see across every?
Well, so I suppose if we could be like a really bad analogy is then if you're going to play ice hockey, you're going to need sticks. You're going to need the skates. If you're going to play basketball, you need the shorts. So if you're going to play, for example, Super Smash Brothers, you need a Nintendo Switch. If you're going to play, FIFA, maybe you want to play it on a PlayStation, Xbox. So it depends really on the game and what the preferred setup is, especially at a professional level.
And is, like, for varying the games, the screen size in terms of, monitors, is it TVs?
There's certain games you'll play, you've got to have a certain refresh rate, and certain players actually want a certain refresh rate because they train on that, and they count, some people even count frames in some fighting games, they're actually that good that that's the level of that. So you've got to make sure that you see what your audience is, and you ask your audience, you make sure you do what they're used to. You don't come in and try and reinvent the wheel and say, oh, by the way, we're playing football today, guys, we're playing with 24 a side or something. The fans won't get it. So that's something we've kind of learned. You've got to be very careful when you're going into these different scenes. If it's a fighting game, if it's a racing, to make sure that you're doing what these guys like, in a sense of what they're used to. You're not coming in and saying, we're doing this now. So we've been doing that with Scottish Motorsports. We've done a couple of articles on it to really try and find what the best game is for us to run in the future. So,
and you touched on it, and we've touched on it separately. Clubs, stadiums, venues—they've got space. Potentially, not all of them have got space, but a lot of clubs have got space of some kind. How can they utilise that?
For example, I know some people in Kirkcaldy. A guy I know, Robert. He used to run a tournament called Turbo Tuesdays. He had to try and find hotels. I mean, if he had that kind of, not saying against Robert, but if he got in touch with Raith Rovers, he could then have a space in there. So all these different places, Aberdeen have got them, Dundee, everywhere's got these pockets of these organisations. They could, in a sense, get in touch with their club, and then they could have a space, So it's about, once again, it's about what we're trying to do with Sports Scotland, is trying to bring people together and try and connect these dots.
And what if I was to say, right, great, I've got a stadium, I'm willing to either give that space away for free in exchange for something, or we figure out in a deal, what would that stadium, what's the basic setup, a minimum sort of requirements?
Yeah, it's got to have good broadband, good coverage. I think it's all about networking as well, so you'd want somewhere that's actually got a really decent speed for the broadband as well. So you want to make sure that something, even if it's in a room that you can get, you've got, we've got networking guys you can bring in to bring it together. So it's got to have, in a sense, decent broadband as well. Also, disability access as well. You want to make sure that what you're doing, people can't get to you in wheelchairs. You want to make sure that's all taken care of as well.
All right, cool. And what would be your one bit of advice for clubs at all levels?
Just get involved, reach out to your social media, reach out to your fans, and you know, get in contact with people who, in a sense, even like ourselves, to say like, what's the next step? We're, you know, our main goal, in a sense, we have our own tournaments, we have our own leagues, but at the same time, my belief is that's only going to work if we make it a strong Scotland as well, you know, and if that seems strong in Scotland, that helps us, that helps everybody. So,
James, how can people find you in Esports Scotland?
You can go to our website, it's esportsscotland.co.uk. You can get us on Twitter at esportsSCO, or you can search for us on Facebook. Okay. Also on Instagram as well.
Hey, on them all.
Definitely.
Thank you very much. So obviously some interesting stuff that James has raised there, especially around, I think, using stadiums and venues. And one thing I know, and I always use this example, is Australia's Tennis Open and their use of Margaret Court Arena and the Rod Laver Arena ahead of the Australia Tennis Open, and basically just turning it into a massive gaming hub for Fortnite. And again, it's getting young people to the environments, to the venues, getting them into that surroundings, and speaking to them on their level, getting them involved in Fortnite. But there's still that opportunity with the tennis and to promote the Australian Tennis Open. So look, there's a lot of opportunity there. And look, it was touched on in an interview about how there is potential revenue off the back of it as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the things that I spoke to, it was the, I think, head of comms for FC Copenhagen's esports team, which is called North, and that was, he was Christian Slott. And they've seen it as a huge opportunity for them, not just in a revenue driver, but again, something else we touched on earlier too, in terms of opening up new audiences for them to engage with. They took the decision to start an esports team and basically make it separate from the football club, but obviously having that alignment still with the FC Copenhagen brand. So the team is based out of the stadium, as you said. And they actually went down the different route of not starting with football, not starting with FIFA or PES or Football Manager even, but going around the CSGO route, which I think is Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
I'm going to just say Counter-Strike because I can't remember what GO stands for. But yeah, again, it opens up new opportunities for revenue, for sponsors to get involved, like different sponsors as well that would maybe get involved if it was just a traditional football club.
Yeah, I mean, Trevor Keane spoke about Rocket League. So for anybody that's not familiar with what Rocket League is, the best way to describe it is football with vehicles. But it's, again, it's a slightly different gaming culture or experience that maybe you don't put hand in hand with football. But you look at Copenhagen, you mentioned there, right? Scandinavia, from a national point of view, massive. Norway got their own head of esports, Norway Football Federation, head of esports, have got a dedicated esports sort of setup within their stadium. They have broadcast right deals to the national team. You've got the Finnish, the Danes, and the Swedish have all just recently had a Scandinavian esports tournament amongst themselves playing FIFA. But also the money that is being agreed with partners in that region, and they've seen the opportunity and they've gone with it. And look, we can look at going down the line in Scotland with potentially a league, which I think is, from a SPFL club point of view, is probably a direction, as I said, they will be exploring. But an area from a national association, yep, we've got the national team. Do we look at some form of Scottish Cup? We've had some conversations with various people, and not necessarily looking at FIFA, looking at our football games. I mean, from a national point of view, national team point of view, UEFA have a deal with Konami, similar to currently Celtic and Rangers have got a deal with Konami. And for Euro 2020, there's going to be a UEFA Euro 2020 played on Pro Evolution Soccer, and we'll probably be part of that. How we go about putting that plan in place is to be decided. I think we've got a commitment that we probably want to explore FIFA more, But when an opportunity to try and get the Scotland, Scotland national team at a major tournament, we can't always turn that down. So, and people may laugh and go, a major tournament is not exactly the same if you're talking about Pro Ev or FIFA. But to somebody that is 14 years old, 16 years old, that can be a big deal.
Yeah.
Might not be a big deal to somebody in their 30s or 40s that just don't get it. But to a teenager, I mean, Scotland competing on that level could be a thing, and it could be something of interest. So, look, the only way we'll find out if we've got the appetite for us to be doing this is to actually to do that sort of thing. So, look, yeah, there's a lot of sort of going on, a lot of diversification going on, and it's whether clubs figure out whether they want to go down, have a look at proper esports and competitive gaming, or just go down that gaming route and using venues as a game zone, a hub, partner up with whoever it may be to offer that. And again, if youngsters are not interested necessarily in kicking a ball, they can still get involved in football and the local club and a community in a different manner.
Yeah, I think, and you mentioned there potentially Scotland getting involved. I remember there was something to do with Football Manager before, wasn't there, as well? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think
I was busy that weekend, so I couldn't represent Scotland in Football Manager.
No, I mean, I know Football Manager, I've never really been in the sort of esports area. When people talk about esports, they don't talk about Football Manager specifically, and I think they've probably, it's because, hazard and a guess, they've probably not nailed down the proposition for what that could be. And I'm sure things might change. Google are releasing Google Stadia, which will really hopefully make a difference to online gaming and the requirements to play games and having that platform. And but we've looked at, from a Scottish Cup point of view, you could do one-off games. Files, for example, create the files and play them, and it's something that we'll be exploring again going into the new season, because we want to be able to speak to different audiences, and each game has its own different audience as well.
Yeah,
so
sure.
We're in a position in Scotland where somebody like FIFA only has the Premiership clubs; they don't have all the clubs throughout the whole SPFL. So, and from a Scottish Cup point of view, Highland and Lowland League, and technically Football Manager doesn't have them, but there is add-ons that you can get. So we've got to look from a governing body point of view, is how do we get as many clubs involved as possible as well. So yeah, look, there's so many different options out there that it's just finding the right ones for what marries up with your objectives and strategy and what you're trying to achieve. Now, as I said, don't just be running into this and thinking we need to be in this space. Have a little think. Don't think too long, obviously, because you need to strike while the iron's hot, but just don't do it for the sake of doing it. Does it marry up with what you're trying to do in terms of who you're trying to target, what you're trying to achieve as a brand? Because at the end of the day, clubs have their identity and their brand, and if that fits, then yeah, let's have a look at into it. And from I'm sure the SPFL is the same, but from a Scottish FA point of view, we can certainly point in the right direction if clubs want to explore these things further.
Definitely. I think you mentioned earlier as well that kids nowadays can look up and potentially look to be an esports professional in the future. You then mentioned as well, you spoke to one of FIFA's best PlayStation players on FIFA?
Scotland's best FIFA player on PlayStation 4, Adam Ryan. Joined by Adam Ryan, FIFA player. Adam, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I suppose we start at the start. How did you get into esports and playing FIFA?
Well, I was just playing for fun during my summer holiday in about 2017, I think, and I started getting really good at the game, and I thought, I saw a tournament on Sky Sports, and I thought, I should try and get involved in this. I think I'd be able to do well at that level if I just kept practicing. So since then I've been practicing, and I'd say now I'm ready to like take my game to that level.
And you recently competed in the E-Premier League, which for Watford, and you've participated in other tournaments. How is that sort of the competitive level? What is that like to play?
It's really intense. Like, I think everybody knows all the patterns and combinations you have to do to win the game, but it's more like a mental battle with your opponent. So where is he going to, what way is he going to shoot? What skill moves are you going to do in this situation? Like, can you keep the ball in the right area? So like if you have a 2-goal lead, it's really important to like manage your game, so like keep possession of the ball, don't take any risks, play the simple passes.
What are the sort of experiences you've had from competing?
Yeah, I've experienced all the highs and the lows. A high when I won the Watford tournament, but when I went to the event, I conceded 2 90th minute goals to not go through to the next stage, and I just felt devastated. Like, it's really stressful and mentally draining, but when you get those really good moments and you perform really well, it's the best feeling ever. The adrenaline is just amazing.
And for those that haven't perhaps experienced like a live event before, what is the setup like at one of these live events?
Yeah, it varies, but like a well set up one, you'd have like a monitor, your console, you're allowed to bring your own controller. Obviously, as long as it's not like modified for an advantage, but like, so you're used to your own controller. You've got a high-end headset so you can block out the background noise, because obviously there's so many people in the one room, like you need to try and be focused on your own game. You're allowed to listen to music. Sometimes I listen to music when I play, but sometimes it's just the commentary. Like, you've got so many options, like, it's all about personal preferences.
I suppose you would have heard the Martin Tyler commentary over and over.
Yeah, it's similar every year as well. I'm sick of hearing him say the same things.
You are represented by Bundled, Team Bundled. How did that come about, and what do they do for you?
Well, I like to treat Twitter as my CV, so I put like all the results, like all, when I do good or bad, I always put it on Twitter. So like, if someone was interested in signing me up, they'd see exactly what I'm like. And I met them at a FIFA event, and then a few weeks later they contacted me. We had a few chats, some phone calls, and then I felt like they were the right place for me. They helped me so much to like manage my social media, grow as a player, and like FIFA's a bit pay to win this year, and they helped me a lot with FIFA points and gave me all the tools and equipment, controllers, headsets, flew me to Holland to their headquarters. Like, they gave me all the tools to compete at the top level, and I'm really grateful for that.
And in terms of competing at the top level, what is the aim in terms of on a regular basis? Obviously, professional, getting paid for it on a regular is aim, yeah?
Yeah, that's the dream for me, to be able to represent a football club and be able to play for the fans, play for the club, and just compete at the top level and keep improving every day and hopefully win a title.
And just touching back on the Premier League, obviously you represented Watford. How did that come about? How did you get to that stage?
Well, I saw online that there was going to be the Premier League, and instantly I thought, I need to sign up for this. And like, it was advertised on the Premier League social channels, like there was club playoffs, so like you could sign up for the club you wanted to play for, and then you'd play online against other fans or people who's competing for them. And then the top 16 would be invited to an event at the club stadium where you would compete there, and I managed to win that. So that meant I was their player on the PlayStation 4 console in the live event.
And how many hours would you say you practice a week?
Now, because like the competitive season's over, it's not a lot anymore, but like at the start of the game, all day, every day, I struggled to combine it with like school, because like you have to put so much time into this. It's more than like a full-time job, I'd say. And then when my performance dipped halfway through the season, I set my alarm 9 a.m. every morning, and I was playing till 12 p.m. obviously like drink breaks and stuff, but like I was playing till very early in the morning, just because like at the top level you have to be putting in the hours. Like, if you're sleeping, there's always someone else who's staying up working on something new, so you have to be really at the top and just constantly practicing.
And you're a football fan in real life, yeah?
Yeah, I'm a big Rangers fan and had a season ticket there through the lower divisions, but when I obviously got into the esports, it's on the weekend, so I had to give that up. And I also went to all the Scotland national team games in the last campaign, apart from the England one. Sadly, I missed that one. Good one to miss, I guess.
And I mean, myself and you have spoke about it before. What opportunities do you think there is for clubs in Scotland?
Just an endless amount of opportunities, from like having a league where you have like players competing a title at the end, or you've got so many other things. It's not just about like a competition or having players. There's more stuff like fan engagement. So for example, like you could have like your club's goal of the month. So say, I don't know, Ryan Christie scores Celtic's goal of the month, or Morella scores Rangers' goal of the month. You like put a post up on social media saying, fans recreate this, try and score this goal in game on FIFA or PES or whatever platform you choose, and then whoever scores the best goal could be invited to like the club's training ground to like meet the player and be presented with it and stuff like that. Kind of similar to the in real life idea that some clubs have, like you can recreate the player's goal in a month or whatever and get the opportunity to go to the training ground, which is a great honour for any football fan of your club.
Cool. Nice one. Cheers, Adam.
Yeah, so I mean, hopefully that discussion between Michael and I and the interviews you heard from Michael at the SPFL Club Forum has really helped give some ideas and some inspiration for you going forward on esports.
Yeah, I think when you hear from guys like Adam there, just how big a deal it means to guys like him, and I know speaking to him and as I said, Mark Marley, who was kind enough to give up some of his time and come along as well, what it means. And do you know what it means for them to be able to represent Scotland? I've spoke to them and they're absolutely buzzing with the thought of being able to possibly represent Scotland playing FIFA. And it just shows you what it means to kids. I call Adam a kid, he's just turned 18, so apologies, Adam. But, you know, youngsters that, and how old do I sound just even calling them youngsters, but, you know, like, teenagers where that's what they're grown up with, that's what they want to go. You just heard Adam say there that he wanted to become a professional FIFA player because he liked playing it and he saw it on Sky Sports that he could. It's actually a thing to do. So think about the opportunity for people like Adam and whoever else it may be to represent not only country but club. I mean, there's more opportunity to play club football than there is international football, and in the same could apply to playing FIFA and esports.
Yeah, 100%. Perfect. I mean, if anybody else wants to get any more info in this space, reach out to you.
Yeah, give us a shout at the Scottish FA, or and as I said, if I don't have the answers, I can definitely point in the right direction or get you introduced to, depending on what your needs are.
Definitely, and I think as well, not to give myself a shout out, but I'm constantly sharing some esports examples on Twitter as well. I think there's so many from America, Australia as well, and like we see for so much kind of sports marketing, football marketing things. So
Just on that, and I suppose it leads in nicely to our usual feature of things we've seen. And one thing I would say is I've talked about Sean Callanan before, yeah. Sports Geek. He has a newsletter that used to be just sports marketing, things he'd seen. It had a little bit of esports. He's now started his own separate esports newsletter in addition to the sports market one. So again, it's one that is maybe you can sign up to that and you can see a few things that are happening in the industry.
Perfect. Do you want to give another couple of
things? So my other one that I've got is... It was just something I'd seen on Twitter, and we've talked about the importance of asking your fans opinions, and Kilmarnock went old school, and at one of their recent games, handed out a paper survey in the stands asking about safe standing. It just shows you don't have to think too advanced, you don't have to worry about Survey Monkey or whatever else, which although Survey Monkey is a great online tool that does a lot of the hard work for you, and I definitely recommend looking into it. But they went old school. You've got your captive audience there, they're in the stand, you've given them a bit of paper, fill it in, get your thoughts, and I just thought, yeah, brilliant. Like, you know, it's just taking it to where the people are.
Definitely. We'll finish up on a couple of mine. First one is Ajax. I mean, they're obviously the darlings of the Champions League this season. I was lucky enough to see them in Amsterdam in a league game earlier on this season, and so good to watch, but they've also been good off online in terms of some of their output for the Champions League ties that they've been playing too. So there's some brilliant videos if you haven't seen them at all they released before the Juventus match, and then the one that they just recently played and won against Spurs as well. And finally, I think my shout is somebody who will probably be representing their country this summer, and that's Erin Cuthbert for Scotland in the women's tournament that's happening this summer. And she started a column on the BBC website similarly to like Danny Denham's, which is kind of giving an insight into lower league football, just gives a bit more kind of the players showcasing their personalities, which I think is something that players should do more of. Finishing up with an esports example probably as well, Tony Watt, actually I wrote about him in my Nutmeg piece on esports, and he was somebody that was just streaming Football Manager, streaming FIFA on Twitch. He built up a bit of a following. I don't think he's doing as much as he was previously, but he built up a decent following. And you mentioned earlier some England internationals, I think Harry Kane and Dele Alli are two that have been playing like Fortnite on Twitch as well and streaming those. That's us for this week. We'll see you again next time.